Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, ESPN2, Sirius XM Channel 80, your smart speakers, and don't forget to download the podcast. Dr. Pepper call-in lines 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. And we are asking, which college football playoff contender is most likely to get upset this weekend? Some pretty good candidates. Alabama just going to get knocked out by Georgia? Or you think they can Houston with Cincinnati? Cincinnati look unbeatable to you? Michigan with Iowa? Let down
see,
there?
That's the one.
Michigan,
the
Iowa. One,
Michigan, Iowa, Baylor, Ohio, Oklahoma State. David Aranda has something cooking at Baylor. And I'm there. The Oklahoma State, I don't really like them like that. They like a little.
Why not?
I've never liked them like that. They're going to always be a 9-win type team. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe get to 10 if they get to a bowl game. I just don't think that they could get over the hump. David Aranda's defense, he dials it up. And Baylor's a pretty good team. Alabama going to shock people with that Georgia stuff.
This is what I'm saying. Like, yeah, there's some. Like, there might be two upset. Like, there could be some
Iowa,
upsets in these championship games.
Iowa with the slow football, going to pop Michigan.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to be watching that game?
What time is it?
By the way, that's just one of the games like where it's like, I want to watch. I really want to watch it.
Night game.
But I'm also like, but do I? Like, will I be able with my ADHD to get through it?
We're getting up.
I can't watch that style of football.
It's Saturday night.
But KJ and I get up at, 3:30, 4 in the morning.
But it's Saturday night.
In that range. I know I'm saying, but your body starts pre-programmed. To adjust.
Not Key. Key different.
Yeah.
I can't do it like him.
I start to close. Listen, Ryan in New Jersey has a pick for the team that'll get upset. What's going on, Ryan?
What up, Ryan? Jersey.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's happening?
My pick for, I believe Cincinnati's going to go down this week. I think Michigan's going to pull it off. I think it's their time this year.
What do you mean by pull it off? Like win the whole thing? Or just win the Big Ten championship?
No, I don't go that far. I think they're going to at least get to in the playoff, and they might get to the final game. I don't think they're going to win it all. But, I mean, I think beating Ohio State was a big thing for them. So, I think they're going to at least get into, like, the final game maybe. But Cincinnati, for some reason, I think they're just going to mess it up. They're
Doing
too
what?
Good right now.
The thing about Michigan, it is true. The thing that goes against the trap a little bit. It is a championship game. It's not like if this was the final week of the season and they just beaten Ohio State, there is a championship on the line.
I get it. I'm just trying to think in Harbaugh's tenure as a coach, and I know you can't go all the way back to Stanford because they won the Orange Bowl, I think, with Andrew Luck. They lost the Super Bowl. I'm just thinking of championship games that he played in.
Yeah.
That's all I was just trying to, in my mind. Those are the three that come to mind. Then when you think about the Cincinnati-Houston thing, the reason I don't think Houston could get Cincinnati is because Cincinnati played big boy football when they went to Notre Dame and won. That's big boy stuff. People didn't really necessarily think that they could go into South Bend and take care of business in the way that they did it in that type of fashion. So you grow from there. Although some of those other games – you play down to the competition. It's like, well, they barely beat Navy or they barely beat this school. It's like, yeah, but they won the game.
Like Alabama.
They answered the bell. And I think when you're looking at what Luke Fickell's been able to do at Cincinnati since he's been there is continue to grow this program, bring in the right players with the right mentalities. Now you're already at the finish line. Now you're there. You can represent the first non-Power 5 school to be in the Final Four. Not only that, think about that conference. You know, every now and then a referee might decide that flag, didn't come out.
By the way, Jay, that's not the first time I've heard that.
Depending on, right? Think about the conference. The conference, we all working together because we get a piece of the pie.
Oh, yeah.
So if I decide one minute I'm going to pull a flag, you know what, Cincinnati's first down. You know, oh, it looked like he held a defender. Holding Houston, number 60. You know, it's like.
But they say you can call holding on almost every play.
Let me ask you guys this. If Luke Fickell wins and he gets his team to the Final Four, granted, they go to the Pac-12 next year. How much do you think his salary has to bump up in order for him to stay at Cincinnati?
Well he's going to stay. There's nothing really available for him to leave to.
Well, I mean,
there's nothing left.
Yeah.
Everything's gone.
It's official. Marcus Freeman to Notre Dame.
Well, that's, okay, that's official, yeah. All right.
See? But I hear you, Jay. I didn't even see that.
Where is that?
Evan just got my
came across the ticker. Yeah, I knew it was leaning in that direction. I knew that was official.
This morning, yeah, that Marcus Freeman is the next head coach at Notre Dame. Press conference today, 2 o'clock.
Yeah, so that's gone.
Because you get him on a cheap.
I mean, okay. I'll stay at Cincinnati before I go to Virginia. I think Virginia Tech hired somebody. I don't know what y'all are doing at Duke. I'm staying in Cincinnati before I go to Duke. Yeah. So it's Oklahoma's still there. Ha ha. Oklahoma's still there. Okay. Oklahoma's still there.
Tune in tonight for the Pac-12 championship game presented by Dr. Pepper. Coverage begins at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. The football weekend started last night with a win, kind of a must win, for the Dallas Cowboys. They won 27-17. You heard it on 105.3 The Fan. Here is Dak Prescott after the game.
I mean, a win's a win. It means a lot. As you just said, the adversity we've faced coming off the last 2 weeks and then coming in this week and just being hit with the COVID, losing the head coach this week, and just, I mean, so many people stepped up. Credit to Dan Quinn, the coordinators, all the leaders on this team of doing what was necessary to be ready for this game, and then just through the ups and up and down in this game, playing complimented football. When we weren't doing our job on offense, defense, we're creating turnovers. So, I mean, tough to come in a place like this and win, and we're able to do that.
So last night watching the game, obviously their defense won the game, but I came away with Q dying to talk to you about this today because
– Really?
Yes.
You're alive.
Really. Yes. Well, dying to be alive to talk to you about this. You know what I'm saying. I'm watching Zeke, and I get that Zeke is, you know, a big-time back. I get that. But he seems so hobbled, and I just feel like – every time I watch Tony Pollard, I'm like, he is so much more explosive. Like, why isn't he getting a bigger workload? I know last night he had that, you know, big time run, 58-yard run for a TD. But still, when you think about the basics though, right? Like, he's averaging 5.6 yards per carry to Elliott's 4.4. He's never averaged fewer yards per carry than Zeke in any season. Like, it's...
he had half the carries for twice the yards yesterday.
I don't understand why Kellen Moore isn't utilizing him more. Just considering you need to establish that run game, and he is so dynamic.
Well, the run game is made up of different types of runs. Zeke gives you the ability to use all your options across the board. Tony Pollard only gives you a limited amount. Like the toss sweep that you saw on the long run, that's his strength. The perimeter game is his strength. In between the tackles, the middle of the field, that's not his strength. What was Zeke's average last night? 3 point something?
Yeah, yards 3-4, carry. I think.
3-4 carry. The defense side of the ball for the Saints are giving up 3 yards a carry. That's about the same. That's right. His ankle wasn't there. But he does more than running the football for the Dallas Cowboys. Blitz pickup is a major key issue, because if somebody's coming and your quarterback is set to throw, you got to have a stud that can drop his hips, power through that, pick up the blitz, know where the blitz is coming. Is it the inside guy, the outside guy? Oh, I'm going to take the outside guy. Well, that's the wrong thing to do, because the inside guy is going to get to your quarterback. So it's a lot of stuff that you got to know playing that position, and Zeke knows those things, so it gives them a comfort level where Tony is not the best blitz pickup guy for them. So it's just more than running the football.
Well, how do you manage that? Because it just seems – like, his ankle is so – he's hobbled. So you want Zeke to be in the best possible shape in order for you to have a chance to win a Super Bowl. Like, when
he's
do
got
you
time.
Have –
he's got time. He's got 10 days to the next game.
Yeah, they finally get a little break. Don't forget, three games
in 12 days, yeah.
I mean, they played a lot of football. By the way,
I know he's always been battling injury, though, Max.
I know this is old-fashioned, by the way. But if you have a guy who's going to run between the tackles, to me, the 3.4 yards, like, you multiply by three, you got your first down.
Yeah.
You know, like, I know it's not like that anymore. I get it. But to me, I'm like, okay, that'll get it done.
It is like that. Two-headed monsters are key. Cleveland has that. Two-headed monster game is key. Yeah. 2 years ago with Ingram, he was a two-headed monster. In Baltimore, actually, it was three-headed monster. If you add Lamar in there, they rotated the way they ran the ball. It's okay to have that. San Francisco, a couple years ago, they did it that way. There's nothing wrong with that at all, to have consistency at the running back spot. Yeah. Y'all like the flash and a home run hit.
No, what you do is you burn a roster spot in order to add depth, which helps with health, and also to have different looks with your running backs. It makes sense. That's probably worth a roster spot, right? It's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max coming to you live from the Seaport District of Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests on the Goodyear Hotline. So that's the start of Week 13. There is plenty more to get into, including a battle of two young quarterbacks. That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Yes, it is time for Four Downs, brought to you by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Go to geico.com today.
First down.
The Washington football team at the Raiders. Vegas is giving them 2.5 points. They're the favorites. What do you think, Key?
I think that the Raiders take care of this business against the Washington football team going to Las Vegas. When you look at it, Derek Carr didn't throw any interceptions last week against the Cowboys. And look, he hasn't gone consecutive games without an interception this season. Last to do in week 15 and 16 of last season. When he does those things and not turn the ball over, he gives his team the best chance to win. I think the Raiders come out of this one smelling good.
I'll say this. The Raiders' rush defense is not the best in the league, and they're going to have to slow down Antonio Gibson because he is a beast. But the Washington football team actually needs to dominate the run game early. As for Derek Carr, almost throwing for 400 yards against the Cowboys, that's something that the Washington football team is not good at. Right, so he needs to air it out again and be efficient with the ball.
I just feel like Washington's defense is coming. There's something about teams whose defenses get hot toward the end of the year that make me nervous this time of year.
They played against the Seahawks, man.
Well, nevertheless.
What was the spread again? What was it?
2.5 points.
Oh, I'm taking the Raiders.
Yeah. By the way, at home. They're at home.
I'm taking the Raiders.
But you know what? That's true.
With
but you know
a
what?
Dude that is playing horrible and the Seahawks
finger.
Had a
yeah.
chance to win.
Exactly.
Without a finger. All right. That's a hit. Okay.
That's a hit.
That's a hit. You've ever played that
right
as a kid,
in the
Jay?
Chest.
That's a hit. All right. Let's move on. Let's go.
Second down.
Cardinals at Bears. Key J. Cardinals are 7.5 point favorites.
Yeah, this is an interesting game, right? Andy Dalton probably will be the starter this weekend. I know he knows how to play football at times. The Cardinals have been okay with Colt McCoy as a starting quarterback. I don't know if DeAndre Hopkins and Kyler Murray will be in the lineup. This is going to be cold. A dome team traveling on the road. They can be walking in sleep, not paying attention, and get popped. Do I think that's going to happen? Yes, I do.
What?
If Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins doesn't play, I think the Chicago Bears
at
and
home.
Andy Dalton at home in a cold environment,
a warm weather team,
yep. Warm weather dome team goes in there and they get upset. That's what I think.
Coming off those injuries in the cold weather, would you play Kyler Murray and D-Hop?
I probably wouldn't play him based on it's Chicago and they coming off those injuries. I would let him rest up a little bit. But if you do that, Chicago has a better chance to win the game, which – I think they play
Kyler.
I'd rather not play him, though.
Yeah, I think I would probably rest him, too, but something tells me they're going to play him.
I'd rather take the L than have my quarterback out there hobbled around and not at 100%.
Especially when they might win without him.
Yeah,
I just look forward to watching the Cardinals play because I know we always talk about the word air raid, but they're top five in the NFL in rush attempts. And James Conner, I mean, he's around the end zone 5 times in the last 3 games. And I think that's a different dynamic
that's good,
that they haven't had before.
I'm probably taking him in daily this week.
Yeah.
I'm probably having James Conner.
You got James Conner jersey?
Yeah.
I think
in Daily Fantasy.
Oh, okay.
I think the Cardinals should win the game. I think they should win the game, but I would be surprised if they lost based on everything that I laid out.
Yeah.
That's why I'm picking the Bears.
Okay.
I ain't got no money on it, so it don't matter anyway. Cardinal fans don't like me anyway, so tweet away.
Win-win.
Tweet away.
Third down.
Chargers at Bengals. Bengals favored by a field goal at home. By the way, when you see a three-point favorite at home, that means they're saying these teams are even, really, on a neutral field.
They are saying that, but here's what I would say. The Cincinnati Bengals are popping right now. They got a young nucleus on the offensive side with Nick Mixon, Joe Mixon at the running back position. We know about the receivers all the way from the veteran and Tyler Boyd to the young guns and Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. Joe Burrow at the quarterback spot. But the defense is underrated and playing pretty good football. The one thing that the Chargers have to get back to doing is Justin Herbert has to start using his legs a little bit more like he did in the past to be able to get this win. Cincinnati is on to something. They have an opportunity to catch the Baltimore Ravens and get that lead within that division and win the division. They've already popped the Baltimore Ravens at home. They got to see them again. Cleveland, I'm not worried about them. I'm not worried about Pittsburgh. If it's the time for the Cincinnati Bengals to do it, it's Sunday. It's send a message on Sunday that you are for real.
So everybody's going to talk about, obviously, Burrow, Herbert, that matchup. And that's a big-time matchup, right? But Joe Mixon is that dude.
Yeah.
He's exploded over the last two games. And you talk about the worst run defense in the league. That is the Chargers,
ding, ding,
allowing
ding.
145 yards rushing per game.
Whatever.
Right? So look for Joe Mixon to get established early in this ballgame.
You know what? I think the Bengals are capable of winning a Super Bowl right now. Like, I think they're – I don't think they will, but I think they're capable of it because, what, the sneaky defense, and when you look at the offense, everyone's, all right, we're going to stop Ja'Marr Chase because that Burrow to Chase connection. Oh, yeah? Here's T. Higgins. Here's Joe Mixon. It's a problem.
Yeah, we should actually, in the world, man, we should just – everybody names should – we all have different names, but they should never be close. Everybody should be different because the Panthers radio guy is Mixon, and I said Mixon.
Mixon.
Instead of – Joe Mixon.
Yeah, but we knew
Joe
what you meant.
No, of course, but it's like everybody names is too close.
By the way, how many times have people said Russell Westbrook when they meant
Russell Wilson?
Come
on. I do it all the time.
Yeah. Of course.
It should not be. Everybody should have their own like separate names or something. Let me figure that out, Jay.
I just wasn't going to mess up the Justin Jesse thing that I did yesterday, so I was going to stop.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting on fourth down.
Fourth down.
Broncos at Chiefs. This game make you nervous at all? Kansas City, a 10-point favorite, but the Broncos has some freaky deaky wins this season where it's like, what? They did what to who?
No, the Chiefs won 11 straight games versus the Broncos. That's tied for the longest streak in NFL history, dating back all the way to 1964 to 69. I'm not worried about that at all. I think when you look at Kansas City, they're starting to somewhat get into a rhythm and in a groove. What they did last week and since they've been on this little bit of hot streak is they are starting to take the easy money. And what I mean by the easy money is they're dinking and dunking and methodically moving the ball down the field, take a shot here or there, and that's pretty much it. Patrick Mahomes is not risk-taking like he was during their losing streak. And I think that that is a recipe for success that they figured out, hey, let's not turn the ball over, get it to our playmakers quick, and let them make hay. And that's how they've been winning games, on top of the defense kind of tightening up a little bit.
A lot.
Still crazy to me when we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, watching the shop maybe about a year ago, the show that LeBron James and Maverick Carter do, where Patrick Mahomes is talking about he hasn't read defenses for that long in his career.
It's like what Favre
like,
said at that point
oh
in his
my
career.
God. Yeah. You're like, what? Like, you're this quarterback pure compared to Michael Jordan to a degree that hasn't had a lot of experiences reading defenses. So now that he is being disciplined key, and you think about the same. And plus, doesn't Andy Reid have some kind of crazy, stupid record coming off a bye week?
85%, something like that.
Yeah, he's got a nice record coming
off. Yeah, I'll take the Chiefs at home.
Here's the crazy thing. Key, what you said, like, they're just kind of taking what the defense is giving them. Here's how this is why I've always thought the Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl, or at least they're going to be in contention. Because your strategy against the Chiefs, if they accept the strategy and just take what you give them, they win.
Yes,
like, if they take what – so that's – think about defenses. They're like, okay, what we can hope to do here is play a defense where they try the wrong thing against us. Well, what if they try the right thing that we give them? Oh, they're still going to beat us. It's a problem.
Yeah, it is. And look, Kansas City knows what to do. They understand that they have this in front of them. And there's really – if they're doing what they're supposed to do, there's really not a team in the AFC that can come close to them right now. And sometimes these teams start slow. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers started slow. They've missed some games, lost some games, and then all of a sudden they're starting to hit, and everybody's like, ooh, they went into Indy and won big. So now you look at that and you go, well, they're probably going to represent the NFC, look at not Green Bay.
Look at the rosters. Class tells over time. Class tells over time.
Special down.
Bonus down.
SEC championship game.
That's our quarterback.
Alabama, 7.5-point dogs to Georgia. What happens?
Alabama wins this football game. It's just another story book for Nick Saban to be able to say, wow, they still can't beat him. He owns his assistant coaches. Even though Jimbo Fisher clipped him earlier in the year, that's one out of how many? And so when you talk about what they're able to do, Alabama has a hell of an offense, man. Yeah. Their offense can put up some points. Bryce Young can strike. It's going to be a really good game because Georgia's defense and Kirby Smart certainly can get after you, but so can Alabama's offense. And I think Alabama's defense is slightly underrated. You play against a rival like Auburn, there's going to be tough matchups. There's going to be some things in the trenches that you look to and say, well, they dominated them up front. It's a rival game. That's what happens in rivalries.
They won
it. People are going to play at the highest level against that opponent. But when you play against teams like Georgia and you Alabama, you got to bring your stuff. And Nick Saban is no slouch at getting his team ready in championships moments. That's why he's the greatest college football coach in the history of the game.
I'm going to take Georgia to cover in this game. I think Georgia's defense is one of the best defenses we've ever seen. And I don't disrespect Nick Saban and his ability to geniusly coach. But one thing I did see against Auburn, if you're able to apply pressure on their quarterback, I think that's – I mean, look, he was sacked – Bryce Young was sacked 7 times. He had the worst passer rating of this year against Auburn. I think Georgia's going to have that same kind of medicine.
You know, Georgia is going – if they win the championship, the whole thing this year, I'm going to remember them as one of the greatest defenses in the history of American team sports. Like the Pistons – not even the bad boy Pistons, the 04 Pistons defense, the 83 Cardinals in baseball defense, like one of the – but you got to win the championship to do it. And Key, I'm with you on this. They struggled against Auburn. That's a rivalry game.
It's
they
a rival.
Figured out a way to win. Saban figures out ways to win. This is going to be tough. All right. Dr. Pepper call in line, 888-SAY-ESPN. Which college football playoff contender is most likely to get upset this weekend, Evan in Georgia?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen, and happy holidays to you and yours.
You too, Evan.
You
happy
too,
holidays,
boss,
bro.
Man.
Hey, I just wanted to say I am picking Georgia to win this game. However, Alabama is a phenomenal talent. This is the first time I'm betting against Nick Saban. And only thing that concerned me about Georgia is they secondary. They secondary really haven't been tested all season. I think Tennessee exploited them.
I was going to say, I'm glad you said that because I was going to tell Jay. I was going to tell Jay that, Evan. I was going to say, man, if you watch the first 3 quarters of the Tennessee game, you'll think different about Georgia's defense.
It's those dudes up front that we're really talking
about. That's the question. Well, how much time did Bryce Young have in the pocket to make those decisions, though?
Not much. Those guys up front are crazy.
Yeah,
crazy.
But I look at Josh Heupel and I look at Tennessee, and I go back and I look at that, and I say to myself, Tennessee, man, Tennessee had them, but they just not ready yet. But they had them. They had them. And I was hoping that they got him for whatever weird reason.
It's a hell of an offense, but it's for sure the emphasis is the front seven. Okay.
It's Friday, baby. You heard?
Meantime, Rob Ninkovich.
Hey.
Joins the show here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max in a matter of minutes.
Hey. Hey.
Ryan and San Leandro. You are on KJM ESPN Radio.
What up, Ry?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Happy Friday to y'all.
Oh, you all the way in the Bay?
Yes, sir. Outside Oakland.
Okay, okay.
So what you got, Ryan?
Okay, this is going to probably surprise y'all, but I have Baylor beating Oklahoma State on Saturday. Baylor can run the ball. It's something about Mike Gundy. I really don't trust him. But, you know, that's just my take on that. And go Blue. Michigan's going to win the Big Ten.
He said the same thing I said, though, Max. Yeah. David around it, running the ball, the defense, and just something about Oklahoma State Gundy, man.
Don't trust him.
It's just I've never seen him win a big game. Let's just put it that way. We lost to Oklahoma like up until this year, probably 6 or 7 years in a row, maybe longer than that.
But eventually, I mean, it's just not, eventually they pop like you know, Harbaugh. Eventually, if you keep running it back, you don't think eventually you get one?
You do, but you're going up against a team and a defensive coordinator that knows how to stop that style of offense. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about what he did 3 straight years to Lincoln Riley. When mm-hmm. he was at LSU, mm-hmm. he popped him in a college playoff, and he beat him twice at Oklahoma with that style offense.
Yes, yeah, that's a good point. Rob Ninkovich, ESPN NFL analyst, 2-time Super Bowl champion. What's going on, Nick? How are you?
What up? How we doing? Good morning.
It's good, baby.
You got the, I see you with the ostrich.
Yeah, I see you with the ostrich skin boots on.
Those look soft.
They're very soft, yes. They're very soft.
Good to walk in.
I figured, you know, I was on this Yellowstone series for a while, so I figured I'd take out the...
So I heard about that. Is that legit?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Should I watch it?
Everybody
watches
it. Is. Yeah, well, yes.
What is it? Not
check
everybody.
It out.
Am I watching?
I don't even know about it. What is
you,
it?
But like Yellowstone? A lot of people. Yellowstone. Yeah, check it out. It's
yeah, tell them about it, Rob.
So it's just basically... A show. It's a show based on, I guess, a family that has owned land forever in Montana. And it's just showing like the progression of people wanting to expand, expansion of everything.
In other words, people trying to take their land.
Take their land.
Okay.
So it's the expansion. People want to buy their land. They don't want to sell their land, and they're trying to force them to sell it. And then it's a big story.
Apparently, it's pretty good because
it's very good.
You watch it. Key knows about it.
Yeah. It's a good show. It's on their fourth season. So if you once in like. 2 seasons, you'll have cowboy boots.
Kevin Costner, right?
Kevin Costner,
yeah. Kevin Costner.
All right, well, there you go. Take a listen, Rob, to one of your former teammates. Yes. Rob Gronkowski. I don't know if you remember him. Big guy, played tight end.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's talking about Tom Brady on NFL Network's Total Access.
I met him when I was, he was 32 years old when I was 20 years old. And he hasn't had a single drop off since the day I've met him. And he's never lost, you know, his throwing power. He's never lost his skills. This guy has it every single day, week in and week out, game in and game out. But just the way that he's playing, it's like he's never had a drop off in his career at all, you know, since I met him the day that I met him.
Now, there's a former Patriot talking about Tom Brady. We have another one here. I'm sure you'll say all kinds of negative things now, right, Nick? Of course.
No, I mean, listen, has there been a massive drop-off? No. Have we seen moments where Tom probably didn't look great? Of course. That's the nature of football, right? Like, I've had weeks where, like, I'm in pain, and I got tore it all running through me, and I got a shot in my knee, and I got my knee drained, and I'm like, I better put a sleeve on and see if I can go out here and run. And people were like, dang, Ninkovich looks slow today. I'm like, yeah, because I'm beat up, and I feel terrible. So. Right.
I'm beat up.
Then you come back, you got a bye week or you have the off season, you get a little scope, and you come back, and you're like, man, I feel good.
Nink is revitalized.
Nink looks great. So there's moments and there's fluctuations in your career based on just how healthy you are. I think that's pretty simple. And we've seen Tom look, you know, mortal at times when he's been hit a lot and, you know, not feeling great. At one point in his career, he had a calf tear and he was just playing through it. So. Every football player deals with an injury. So you just deal with it and you move on. And Tom has, you know, the utmost as far as his protocols of diet, you know, massage.
Avocado water.
I'm not that. See, like for me, I wasn't my like just strict. No, don't do that. Do that. Like, yeah. It was hard. Like, after a game, I'd be like, man, I need a cocktail. Like, I need a drink.
Yeah.
And it's.
But Tom does the avocado water.
Then Tom would be drinking
water.
You know, Tom would have a gallon of water with him. Yeah. And me, I've, you know.
Have a gallon of whatever you need, right?
Yeah. I'll be on the plane on the ride back. Like, yes, I'd take that. Yes, thank you. Feel great. So it's just.
Tom ever give anyone any dirty looks behind that? Like, come on, man. get it together.
I think he respects everybody on the team, but. There was moments where Tom would be like, Nico, I mean, when I retired, he said, I think you could play a long time. I think you could play more. I'm like, I'm good. Like,
yeah.
And then everyone has their own moments of I'm good.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I hear that a lot from ex-players, but that it's not even so much the body can't do it anymore. It's when they're like, I'm not willing to run through that brick wall
again.
It.
Well, I think, you know, having – positionally is different. You know, mm-hmm. I was a guy in 2006 where they'd be like, Ninko, I want you to run as fast as you can and hit the wedge. And I'd be like, okay. Before they changed the way it was a four, like literally my rookie year, we played the Cowboys, and the Cowboys were known to have a four-man wedge of four backup linemen locking arms, like arm to arm, and it was just a wall of people. And if your tackle went in, you go in the middle of the like. So I would hit the middle of it, and then if the tackle went out to the two, I would hit the outside of the wedge. So like you run down full speed,
the brick wall.
Yeah, they just run full speed, and they'd be like, "Ninko, don't break stride." I'm like,
"Don't break stride.
You don't want me to break stride."
I was on a mission.
Yes,
it was a mission. I won't use the word, but it was a mission. It yeah.
And I was the wedge. So
buster.
I was the wedge on kickoff, the buster, and then when I was on return, I was the wedge guy.
Yeah. Easy for Tom Brady to say, Nick, you can play a lot more.
Here's what I would say about the whole Brady thing. I've never seen Brady fall off.
Yeah, nobody. Yeah.
Yes, Brady has, as I said earlier, there's a game, there's one or two games, there's a game or two stretch where it doesn't look like the first eight games of the season. It looks like, when you go and you look at the year that they lost to Tennessee in the playoffs, everybody's like, Brady, oh, he's done. Why? Because they lost in the divisional round and he didn't have any weapons. And then he comes back the next year and wins the damn Super Bowl because he has weapons. The velocity on the football is there. Oh, he's not hitting the deep ball anymore. He ain't got Randy Moss. Hmm. So people, they naturally start saying things like he's going to fall off a cliff.
Well, let me tell
he's
you what.
Done.
No, I said that before there was any evidence of it.
People. Oh, yeah, I love that you weren't even looking at Max.
Was that you that said that?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, okay, sorry.
I said the cliff before there was any evidence, only because in the history of football, no like Hall of Fame quarterback past the age of 41 had ever been anything, right? Not past the age of 41. So I just did the math and said, okay, it's going to happen to Tom Brady. I will say this. I didn't see it happen until the season you're talking about. I thought I saw fall off, which obviously wasn't there based on what you just said. And it's because I did see velocity, but I thought I saw sometimes when an older guy he muscles it, he can still get velocity, but now he's going to lose accuracy, right? And I thought I saw that, but clearly looking back, guys weren't where they're supposed to be. They just weren't where they were supposed to be.
But Tom is built to be a longevity. Like he is built a certain way.
I mean,
like,
he's a big dude.
Before practice, I would go out to practice early because I was a snapper. So I would go and warm up a little bit because you got to warm up and you got to snap a few balls because we'd have punt team first and I'd have to go out.
Oh, you snap too?
I snapped, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Damn, Nico.
Yeah. 2014, I played every snap of defense. I snapped every ball in Green Bay. Field goals and punts.
PAT and punt?
Yep.
Brady's wondering, why does Nick want to retire?
Snapper the week before got a concussion. And I was like, is this kid going to be ready? Like, come on. Come on. Like, please play. Wow. And then, like, the day of the game, Scotty O'Brien was like, hey, Ninko, you're going to have to snap for us today. I'm like, ugh. Because the worst part is I got my gloves on. I got my pinkies. I tape my fingers because I dislocate my hand or my this finger all the time. So I'd have to take my gloves off, snap the ball, put my gloves back on, go play a series, tape back up because it would just go all the – it would just dislocate every time I touch somebody. So then I have to take my gloves off, snap the ball, put the gloves back. It was
– hit the wedge at full speed in practice.
Yeah. Pass. But anyway, I would say Tom, just he's built – he's long, he's tall, he's got long levers. So that, like, helps him with velocity. He's not a small guy.
Yeah.
So he
always
can
had a good arm. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance, offering coverage options as unique as your business. Progressive covers companies of many sizes and specialties. Learn more at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Thank you, Nick.
Thanks, guys.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
There it is. One of the biggest games of Found week it. 13, Bengals Chargers in Cincinnati. Joe Burrow, of course, first overall in the 2020 draft. Herbert was picked sixth, and the Bengals have no regret. Now, before I read you this, Justin Herbert had one of the, arguably the greatest rookie season ever. Like, he's in the conversation, and he's gotten better this year. You know who leads the league in QBR right now? Justin Herbert right now leads the NFL in QBR. But the Bengals are saying, we felt like Joe was the perfect fit. Zach Taylor told ESPN this, head coach. We knew that Justin was going to be a tremendous quarterback, and you'd be lucky to have him, but for us, it was just about Joe and what he brought to the table, and we decided to go with him. So, Key, if they were to do it again right now, redo that draft, are you going to draft Joe Burrow or Justin Herbert for the Bengals?
Based on what I saw in college?
No, no. Knowing what you know now, you go back.
It's hard. It's hard because he's doing great. There's nothing wrong with Joe. Joe Burrow's fine.
He's doing great. Yeah.
Yeah. It's.
He was good as a rookie.
It's tomato, tomato. Six in one hand, half a dozen in the other. Right. I mean, it's like. So it's not. There's no. I guess you can't. For me, I can't compare them because they're the same to me. Either one, I'm satisfied with based on today. If I go back to the college. And I look at it, I'm going to take Justin Herbert because I've seen more Justin Herbert than anybody. Mm-hmm. So I'm taking Justin Herbert. I like Joe Burrow in college, but I also looked at it from a biased opinion based on what Justin Herbert was throwing to in college. Do you know anybody Justin Herbert was throwing to in college? I mean, could you tell me one wide receiver?
And by the way, that's maybe why he has so highly touted early, and then people felt like he fell off a little bit because who he's throwing to.
He's throwing to nobodies.
Right.
I don't even think any of those guys are even on a practice squad in the National Football League, where Joe Burrow was throwing to Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, Terrence Marshall.
All pro team.
just like Clyde Allaire. Randy Moss Jr. at the tight end spot. I mean, it's like he has so much. So my mind.
Thaddeus Moss, yeah.
Thaddeus. I don't know why I always say Randy Moss Jr., but Thaddeus. I had my mind already made up that this dude is throwing to an all-star team, and this other guy throwing to some guys that basically are going to not be in the NFL.
Jay, he's not wrong. Like, and if you put Justin Herbert on the Bengals right now, he'd also probably be having, right?
I mean, probably. It's interesting, the argument, because playing at Duke, I play with four other guys that were drafted in the first round. You know, two other guys that were drafted in the top 10. And people are like, well, you're playing with these other guys. I'm like, yeah, but I'm still out here destroying people, doing my thing. So hopefully if you get to an NFL team that surrounds you with talent, right? If you have a good draft mind and you're surrounding somebody with talent, you're like, all right, I see how he can elevate talented individuals around him. So for me, when I look at Joe Burrow, I don't hold that against Joe Burrow that he played with talent. I understand Justin Herbert is still special, but I'm like, wow, Joe Burrow is still making a very talented player. Yeah.
Okay, here's the thing that's crazy to me. Justin Herbert, to me, I always thought like, Patrick Mahomes already got paid, right? And I look at Justin Herbert and think, if I had to start a franchise, I think I'm going with Herbert based on age, salary, ability, size, speed, everything, everyone. I think I'd start with Justin Herbert before anyone based on like he checks every box.
It's hard.
But
see,
doesn't depend upon what you have already.
Herbert? No, I'm saying I'm starting a franchise.
Okay, so
I can add anyone.
You have no other pieces.
I got no other piece. I'm probably taking Herbert, probably, based on age and everything.
Out of all the quarterbacks?
Out of everybody who lives. Like, it's Mahomes, but Mahomes already got his $500 million contract. You don't have to pay Herbert yet. But my point is,
I'm so lost.
Yeah, he just went to like everybody in football.
That's how highly I think of Herbert. If I was starting a franchise from scratch,
I
might start it with him.
Okay.
Here's the thing about Burrow that's nuts, though. He had the greatest season, arguably, in the history of college football, capped by the best championship game. Like, he outplayed Trevor Lawrence by a lot. And I thought, well, Trevor Lawrence is the best player on the... Oh, no, he wasn't. It wasn't close. Joe Burrow was a beast. So when it matters most, don't you just get the feeling like Burrow's the type to come through?
Because you've seen it.
Because I've seen it.
It doesn't mean it can't exist for Justin Herbert, but you've seen it.
I've seen
and that
Burrow
experience goes
it.
A long way with you mentally. Yes.
No doubt. Emotionally, man. Yeah, you just trust the dude under pressure.
Yeah, his name is Joe.
His name is Joe.
So, you know.
The key is talking about something I said yesterday, which is you saw a Joe Montana, the previous generation saw a Joe Namath. Mm-hmm. You got a Joe Burrow now. You're like, he's the next guy.
See, look, I had a chance to see Justin Herbert play 10 times in person. And outside of the Arizona State game that I happened to watch Herm and Marvin Lewis and Antonio Pierce do him in at Sun Devil Stadium. And I'm watching it, and I'm saying to myself, he's good, but he's not throwing to anybody. So, therefore, they can get after him with these complicated NFL schemes that he typically will not see in the Pac-12 conference. So what does that mean? That just means that if he was surrounded around Keenan Allen and Mike Williams and Austin Eckler and what they have, that he's going to be good.
He's been doing it.
If you, sir, plant him in the Cincinnati, he's still going to do it. If I put Joe Burrow in the Chargers, he's still going to do it.
Yeah, that's why it's a tough question.
Because it's a tough question. It's like...
But if you had to pick... Okay, look, you have a team. Who are you taking?
Either one.
But you're on the clock. You got to say a name.
I'm going to ask my assistants.
Yeah, but it's legit.
You're probably going to take Justin Herbert just because of the size of frame, the way it looks right at the top.
But Joe Burrow ain't small. He just got a funny body.
Yep. I think I would take Herbert, and I have the feeling that I'd be happy with Herbert, but Joe Burrow would make me live to regret it. You know, I just have that feeling. All right, Key, it's getting tough for Sean Payton and the Saints. Will he take the easy way out of the Big Easy? That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio.
The Keyshawn, J. Will and Max Podcast.